The Today's Homeowner Radio Podcast is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. This is a best of episode. Happy New Year, everyone. Danny and Joe will be back with us next week, but before they left, they made sure to leave you with a message.
Hey, everybody, want to wish you a happy new year and hope that you're doing what I'm doing, really looking at 2023 as an opportunity to get a lot of things done around the house, and you know where to go, right here at Today's Homeowner Radio. Happy New Year to everybody. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Joe Truini wishing you a very happy new year. Hope you are happy and healthy throughout all of 2023, and Danny and I will be back with you next week.
Thank you, Danny and Joe, and let's get right to the best of Today's Homeowner Radio.
And I'll tell you what, over this last week, the Today's Homeowner Hotline has been hopping, not only with a few questions, but also some great tips that have been shared. We'll share some of those with you in just a little bit. What a great community that we've been able to kind of put together here. People that love their homes, people that want to improve their homes, people that want to find out more about their homes, and we all want to have a little fun along the way. We don't have to be so serious with everything that we do at our homes. It's one of those environments that you can control, you can make it better, you can make it look any way that you would like it to look by going a step at a time, and that's what we're here to help you make sure that you start off those projects right and finish them feeling really, really good about it. And we, Joe, you know, I'll tell you, this time of the year, of course, you know, people have maybe put off a few projects and so forth during the holidays, you know, for, you know,
probably,
for,
yeah,
likely reasons. Everybody gets real busy, but people also get a chance to kind of settle down and think about some of the things. And I know people will be painting, of course, interior, because yep, the exterior is very, very hard to get to right now. And, you know, we always encourage people to don't get too ambitious. You know, it might be good not to paint the whole house at one time, but but maybe that one room that'll make the most difference to you might be the one to tackle first.
Yeah, sure. I've been doing some interior painting. I've been painting new drywall, so it's a little different. But either way, you know, you do one room at a time, because often it requires, if not moving the furniture out of the room, at least pushing it all to the center of the room and covering it up. So, yeah, and masking off the floor and all that. So, yeah, doing one room at a time. And we've been seeing a lot of and getting a lot of questions about accent walls.
Yeah.
And I know on the Today's Homeowner website, there's several different ways to create an accent wall. And an accent wall, if you're not familiar with, is in the simplest form, it's simply painting one wall. This is often a family room, or more often than that, even a bedroom. But you paint one wall a slightly different color. Often it's a darker color, a darker version sometimes of the other wall, the color on the remaining three walls. But either way, you paint an accent wall slightly darker, and it just creates a whole different space and takes no more time, of course, than painting all the walls the same color. But in any case, yeah, interior painting is a great time of year to do it. And if you've got a lot of painting, try painting from a 5-gallon bucket with a painter screen in it, which is just like it's hard to explain what it is, just a piece of metal. It's not really a screen. It's a rigid piece of metal. You can roll the roller against to get the excess paint off. It's a lot quicker than and a lot easier than working out of those little trays, which seems like I did that recently because I only had one or two walls. But that tray holds very little paint. I don't know who came up with that.
Yeah, it's a lot of trouble in spilling it. I mean, pouring it back and forth.
You have to try not to step in it and everything else.
And when you're using a 5-gallon bucket with a screen in it like that, it just makes you feel grown up, doesn't it, Joe? You know, how many times during the holiday season has your wife Marla said, Joe, when are you going to grow up? You know,
This morning she said it twice. I wasn't counting over the holidays.
I just take that as such a compliment. You know,
yeah.
I would rather be told that than you sure are a stick in the mud.
I never
want to be a stick in the mud.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's great value in being silly, and I'm relatively silly. I'm a pretty silly guy. I must admit, I'm pretty silly.
Hey, you know, another thing a lot of people want to do. Well, first of all, let me go back to the accent wall. It's something that I thought about. Let's call it a personality wall, because, you know, that's one of the things that you can really, it's just like your front door on your house. I always think about that is when I'm driving down the road and I see someone with that bold yellow door or the black door or the red door.
Sure.
It just makes me think of the personality of that person that chose that color, and which is great. That's one of the liberating things about owning a home is to be able to make it your own. And, you know, if you're talking about an accent wall, I mean, we've painted them black. We've painted them purple. We've also done a lot of the shiplap type of look on it, from anywhere from a stained finish to a type of a whitewash pickle type of finish. So that really is one of those opportunities between the accent door as well as the front doors to really make it your own. And I think that's a lot of the fun when you're able to remodel a house. Another thing people are looking at right now, whether they do anything about it or not, is trying to purge all of the stuff that we have. And it is easier now with all of the different places, you know, with Facebook Marketplace that you can, you know, get rid of or sell. You've got freecycle.com, you got Habitat for Humanity, and you have the variety of other charitable organizations that you can really provide things to people that really need it. And I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that really get a lot of appreciation, including myself, out of feeling a little more organized than you usually do.
Right, because you don't have to put it out on your front lawn with a price tag on it.
Right,
I mean,
right.
There's nothing wrong with having tag sales, yard sales, but you don't have to do it that way. You know, there are lots of ways to get rid of the stuff in your house. And I've found, like, sometimes it's so difficult to get rid of this stuff you've saved all these years. And once it's out of the house, like a day later, I don't even hardly remember even having it. Like, why was I holding on to this?
I know.
So once it's out of the house, like, you don't see it, that's it. You don't even remember you ever had it. So, you know, purge, especially if you're planning on selling a home. You know, the realtors say you should remove half of the stuff in your house. I don't know what you're supposed to do with it, but they say you're supposed to remove half of the stuff in your house. Can you imagine? Like, look around your house right now and imagine removing half of the furniture, half of the decorations, half of all. But I guess the idea, of course, is first you want to depersonalize it. You're not supposed to get rid of your pictures and all that stuff, your family photographs, because people want to see themselves living in your house, not you living in your house.
Right.
But yeah, so get rid of all the. This is a great time of the year to do it. First of all, you're indoors. Sometimes if the weather's lousy, what else are you going to do? So it's a good time to clean out the closet, especially with all the new stuff that you probably got over the holidays.
Right, exactly. And I'm actually waiting for some of the sales to come around which usually happens during this time of the year, for some of the containers. And we talked about this the different terminology for these storage devices.
Some people, the plastic tubs you're talking about?
Yes, plastic tubs. Some people call them totes.
Totes, that's right.
Bins. I don't know what other things there. But anyway, I'm waiting. But let me tell you, they don't give those away. Matter of fact, they're really, really proud of a lot of the ones, especially the heavy-duty ones, because I know I found this out in stacking a lot of these containers. If you don't really have some good rigid ones, these things, you cannot stack four or five on top of each other, especially if they're filled with about 250 camera disc that ends up weighing a good bit.
Yeah. And so that's because the bottom bin will wind up being a lot smaller than when you first bought it.
After a month or so, it looked
those
very
are the
similar.
Compacting disc. Those are the compacting bins, self-compacting bins.
It looked like a melted candle, to tell you the truth.
Exactly.
It kind of just melted down along there. Hey, I'll tell you what, the Today's Homeowner Hotline has been very busy, and maybe people just taking the time to call us up and wish us happy holidays and so forth. That is really, really nice. And I'll tell you, every now and then, quite a bit, we get some pretty cool little emails from people. Here's one I want to share with you real quick. Hey, Danny, I just wanted to send along a huge note of appreciation for what you and Chelsea do on the television show. What I like most about your show is it features smaller do-it-yourself projects that homeowners can do themselves. I watch your show religiously, even the repeats. Please keep up the good work. No, great work that you two do. I'm 71 years old and I don't do much in the way of projects anymore, although I can find things both inside and out on my Western New York home that can benefit, but I watch and I learn so that I can pass along to those who can use your advice. Thanks again, and hope you and your family enjoy happy and healthy holidays. Best regards, Frank. Frank, thank you so much for taking the time to send that email to us, and that really makes us feel great, makes us continue really wanting to charge ahead here
You're listening to a best of Today's Home Owner Radio. Happy New Year, everyone. We know that you still have questions and we still have answers, so reach out to us anytime by giving us a call at 1-800-946-4420 or visit us at todayshomeowner.com/ask. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Hey, welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, one of the best ways to seal out all those cold drafts during this time of the year is by sealing around windows and doors. So Loctite's new Tight Foam Window and Door Insulating Spray Foam Sealant is a timely update. This new generation of polyurethane-based insulation is minimal expanding foam with a low-pressure formula that is designed to not bow or warp windows or door frames. The formula's purified and concentrated ingredients ensure that the foam is durable enough to do its job for the long haul. It dries to a bright white finish that withstands UV rays and can be trimmed in about 50 to 70 minutes. Plus, it sticks to most any kind of building material you may have in your home. Now, for more information on this Loctite Tight Foam Window and Door Spray Foam Sealant, log on to homedepot.com.
You're listening to the best of Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Corey Wilson, engineer and producer for Today's Homeowner Radio. We want to let you know that if you have missed any past episodes of the radio show, or if you want to listen to our daily tips for Today's Homeowner and our weekly Ask Danny podcast episodes, they are all available in podcast form. You can do so by searching us at Today's Homeowner Podcast on any podcasting app. Well, let's get right back to the best of.
Appreciate you spending some time with us here at Today's Homeowner, and we want to help you with whatever challenges that you're facing around your home. Pretty easy. Pick up the phone, 800-946-4420. Send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Certainly we want to see if we can get as many of these emails taken care of as we possibly can. And let's go to, I have an email right here. We got a lot of emails this week.
Great.
Joe, and let's see. Jamie's asking, what is the best house plan for a 30 by 30 or 30 by 40 building? So you're talking about a house that's a 900 to 1,000 square feet. I'm just looking for a basic a bedroom floor plan, some kind of idea that's really, really simple. Well, I tell you what, Jamie, there are a lot of them out there. Actually, Joe, you never saw one of the little houses I built many, many years ago out, basically out of scrap wood. I stockpiled all of this wood and saved it. And through my remodeling business, I would have leftover, you know, we would tear cabinets out that were perfectly good that we would save and different other, things there. So I would say about 60% of this house that I built was out of used lumber. And I kind of designed it in such a way that I put more piers under the house than you might normally so that I could use shorter pieces of wood.
Sure.
And it ended being a beautiful house. But what reminded me of it is I did the very thing that Jamie's looking at, is I went and researched what would be a simple home, one that would be very good for rentals. This actually ended up being 1,090 square feet, but I squeezed three bedrooms, not giant bedrooms, and two baths in this rental house that I rented out for probably 25 years. And boy, it worked out so well. But of course, back then, what would you do? You would head down to the bookstore, and you'd go over to that magazine rack that was approximately the length of a football field, and then 3 hours later, you would walk out of there with a couple or five magazines.
Right, there are all those plans books.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed that, and that's still available, of course, the house plans books that are produced, and you can get some small house plans, vacation house plans, different categories like that, but of course, the internet is full of opportunities and ideas, but I like that kind of throwback a little bit of going to the old magazine rack.
Yeah, there's something about just seeing it in printed form. And if you're not familiar with these, they're magazines or books, and they show, they're all renderings. There are very few photographs. These are just drawings of houses, and they show the exterior of the house. Then there are usually plan views, which are kind of like a bird's eye view of each living level. So you can see looking down at what the floor plan would be like, where the bedrooms are located, how big they are. And very, very quickly, you can zero in on a style of home that you like and the size that accommodate your family. And then from there, you would buy the plans. You know, the plans aren't in this book. These are just renderings. And then you can offer them. You can buy the plans, which are available online now. They used to be available through the mail. I'm not sure how they do it these days. Probably online. Then you print it out yourself. But to answer Jamie's question, like the best house plan, I mean, it's like saying, what's the best car to buy? Well, what do you need it for? How much money do you have to spend? But I would say, you know, like I live in New England and I live in a Cape Cod style house. We have lots of colonials and capes, and I love Cape Cod style house for one reason. In a relatively small footprint, you get a lot of living space. In a 30 by 30 foot footprint, you'd get almost 1,800 square feet of space. If that was a ranch or a one story house that size, obviously you'd get half as much living space. So that's what I would recommend. Take a look at a Cape Cod style, put a full shed dormer off the roof in the back, put a couple of gable dormers in the front, and that whole second level, which would ordinarily just be attic space, is now all living space. So that's what I would recommend. Just take a look at the Cape Cod style.
Okay, another email here from Deborah in Illinois. Says, hello, I'm getting ready to paint the interior of my entire house. We were just talking about interior painting just a bit ago. The walls are covered with medium dark wood paneling, which I want to lighten up. Can you tell me the best way to go about this? Well, how many times have we answered questions about painting dark paneling?
And almost monthly.
Yeah, almost monthly. And I'll tell you what, a plethora of information is waiting on you at todayshomeowner.com. We've got videos. We have episodes of shows where we've taken the what we always call the dark den of the 70s and completely lightened them up. I mean, you know, you can make paneling look just like drywall with just a few little steps and processes, or you can go in and just put a coat of paint on the paneling and make an immediate difference. Very quickly. And of course, in some situations, removing the paneling and installing drywall is a more, extensive type of remodeling that can do that. So there's several different ways to go. But just to touch on a couple of those, if you do want to paint it, of course, you're going to have to do some light sanding, wiping it down, put a good bonding primer on the wood, and then an acrylic latex paint over it. And there you go. That can be done. And a lot of times in den areas, you may have a stained bookcase or a stained mantle around the fireplace. You may want to leave that stained, maybe lightly sand it, put another coat of polyurethane on it to freshen it up, and that becomes more of an accent and a focal point than it may be now. Of course, you can go ahead and paint everything, but also if you want to cover up those the grooves in the wood, then using a joint compound can make a big difference in turning that grooved paneled wall into a wall that looks just like drywall.
Right, yeah, so you'd want to cover up the grooves and the seams in between. Now, one thing I would recommend, though, before doing that is prime the wall, as Danny said, and then paint it the lighter color, whatever the color you want, before filling in the grooves. Just even if you just do one relatively small section, like one panel, and just take a look at it, because you may discover that once it's all painted that light color, those vertical grooves aren't all that offensive.
Right.
You don't really even see them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd save yourself a ton of work than trying to cover them up. And the other option is, Danny said, you can pull the paneling off the wall. And if you find drywall behind it, which you often will, then that's also a way to go. If the drywall's already been finished, because maybe it was a painted wall at one point and someone put up paneling over it. So you can pull it off, then you would just only have to patch the nail holes and all that. And then, you know, that would be another really quick way to do it. But yeah, I would recommend before filling in those vertical grooves, just paint them first and see if you like the way it looks.
You know, another thing we did one time is installed some chair rail right at the 36-inch mark. And then down below, we actually filled in the grooves and installed a kind of a muted wallpaper, which you don't put much wallpaper up these days, but just a real simple pattern of wallpaper. And then we filled in the grooves and painted above it. So it raised the level of the room considerably by just installing some simple stock molding that we picked up at the Home Depot, the chair rail, and that made a big difference too. So there's a lot of ways you can really change up that existing area. And again, a lot of information waiting on you at todayshomeowner.com.
Thank you so much for listening to this best of Today's Homeowner Radio. We want to let you know that we have a lot of information for you. So if you haven't already, go ahead and sign up for our weekly newsletter by going to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. Also, while you're there, you can search our simple solutions by going to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. Well, this is a best of Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
No, I'm not Danny or Joe. I'm Gory Wilson, engineer and producer for Today's Homeowner Radio. We want to thank you for listening to this best of Today's Homeowner Radio. This week, I caught up with a few members of our team and asked them what was their New Year's resolution. And this is what Stephanie Greenwood, our VP and general manager, had to say.
The thing I love most about every new year is the endless possibilities that come with starting something fresh. I love turning over a fresh page in my calendar or buying a new planner that has nothing written in it. It just gives me this entirely inspired feeling that the possibilities are endless, anything can happen, and I'm always a glass half full kind of girl, so I'm filled with optimism, and having a fresh, clean slate always just makes me feel great at the opportunities to come.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is the best of Today's Homeowner Radio. Danny and Joe are off this week. They will be back next week. But until then, here's a best of Today's Homeowner.
Joe, that reminds me of another thing that's probably created a lot of frustration over this last week is when you're opening a present and there it is in that plastic molded wrap.
Oh, I know.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you try this, you try that, and you end up going out and getting your recip saw to cut the darn box open. You know, that shrink wrap.
Yeah, those clamshell
thing,
you know. Packaging.
So what kind of person creates these type of things? Well, I know one of those. Actually,
really?
Tiffany Burtonette, our vice president, director of sales, her husband is a packaging engineer.
So he's the person.
He's the one. Now, can you imagine being at a party and something like that? And, hey, what do you do? What do you do for a living? Well, I'm a packaging engineer. Well, what kind of things you do? Well, he just left a battery company in doing all of their battery packaging, and now he's with a company in Bloomingdale, Indiana, working with another company, still doing the same torturous task of making it miserable for the consumer to open up your toys on Christmas morning.
So he's finally figured out a way to prevent all battery packages from being opened easily.
Yes.
So now he's moved on to another.
So he's moved
product.
On to another. And I'm not sure what he's, you know, who he's tormenting in right now. But anyway, so you always wondered who that person was. Well, I know them. And so
hope he doesn't get a job at Budweiser.
Yeah.
No way to get the beer out of the six pack.
That could be pretty serious. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got some great. I want to read something else here. This is
sure.
pretty neat. Some of the things that we've gotten. These are different random tips that we've gotten from homeowners on the Today's Homeowner Hotline at 800-946-4420. Or we get a lot of emails, of course, todayshomeowner.com/ask. This is from Fabio Ross on todayshomeowner.com. The first and easiest way to evaluate your roof's condition is to grab a bright flashlight and head up into your attic. Make sure you grab a flashlight with a really bright beam so that you don't miss any damage, and always be sure to be safe as you perform this type of inspection. Once you have performed an interior roof check, it's also a good idea to take a look at your roof from the outside. Interior roof checks are essential because they help you identify roof damage that's already reached the interior of your roofing structure. That's a great idea. Do be careful when you're in the attic as far as stepping through the ceiling or anything along those lines. But he's right. And to be able to look at those areas that are prone to leaks around your chimneys, around your valleys, any of these areas, you might find a leak in there that you didn't even realize. And you might be able to head it off before it starts showing up inside your house, which is where it really gets expensive. I think it's a pretty good tip from one of our listeners.
Yeah, because we often say the importance of inspecting your roof using binoculars from the outside, but I don't think we ever mentioned the importance of going inside. And the other thing you'll find is if there's any water damage, you'll see it. I mean, there'll be, even if it's not wet, you'll see water stains. And if there's any rot going on with the underside of the roof sheathing, you'll see that as well. So that's a great tip from Fabio.
And also, when you're up there, you know, if it's a bright, sunny day, you also can turn your light off Let your eyes kind of adjust to the darkness and look around these same areas. And if you're seeing some daylight here and there, well,
right,
rain can get right in there. So another way of doing that. Here's another one from todayshomeowner.com that someone sent in at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Sean says, in order to boost the efficiency of your water heater, keep your water heater clean, repair all leaks, and lower the temperature. You know, a lot of the water heaters automatically are set, I believe, at 130, and we recommend bringing that down to 120 or 115. I know a lot of homeowners have done that very thing. They're saving a significant amount of money on their power bill or their gas bill, and nobody ever notices that it's not making the water where you're going to run out all the time. Oftentimes, you're heating more water than you need. That's certainly a great idea. Just to turn that back, a very easy thing to do.
Yeah, you'll notice the temperature difference the first day or two, you know, but after that, you won't even hardly notice it. If you're used to taking a shower in 120 degree water, suddenly it's 115, you might notice it the first day, but not much after that.
Hey, you know, a lot of times we monitor our website and we'll see certain trending articles. And boy, here's one that really blew up on todayshomeowner.com. How to remove mold and mildew from front loading washers and dryers. You know, we've got over, we have 179 comments on this one subject. So we thought we would touch on it a little bit because the front loader washing machines, we hear about it all the time. I've got one at my house and I know exactly what they're talking about. So if you're having trouble with the smell in your front loading a washing machine, here's how to get it smelling fresh again. Clean the gaskets. Use a rag or towel to clean the rubber door gasket on a front loading washer with either hot soapy water or a little bit of mildew cleaner, and make sure to wipe underneath and around it as well. Be prepared for a little slime and gunk and possibly a stray sock or two. That might happen as well. Also, clean the dispensers, removing the detergent dispensers and giving them a good scrubbing. If they don't come out all the way, clean them the very best you can, and you can use a bottle or pipe cleaner to reach back into all of the crevices. And maybe run a cleaning cycle. Next, run an empty wash cycle on the longest, hottest water setting, and that way you can add one of the following directly to the wash tub: a cup of bleach, a cup of baking soda, a cup of dishwasher detergent, a commercial residue busting washer cleaner such as a Fresh, or they even have one called Smelly Washer, and that is putting it out there. So that'll allow you to really kind of clean this up. But there's more information waiting on you at todayshomeowner.com on other tips and ways that you can keep your front loading washer and dryer from kind of being a smelly mess.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Best of Today's Homeowner Radio. You can reach out to us anytime by sending us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask or giving us a call on our hotline at 1-800-946-4420. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. This is the best of. Let's get right to it.
And boy, this show is packed with information. We were just talking about a very popular article that's trending on todayshomeowner.com right now about how to clean a front-loading washer as well as dryer, because it's just such a problem. I've heard about this so much, and then I experienced it at my own house. And one of the things that we've started doing is leave the doors open a little bit on each one to allow the natural drying of the air conditioning heating in the home to keep mold and mildew from forming. But here's a couple of quick comments from that top loading washer article. David says, I have a top loading a washer that periodically has greenish leaf-like debris in the washer. The washer appears to be on a properly installed drain system. We do use well water. Of course, we're not putting clothes in the washer that has leaves or grass on the clothes before the wash cycle begins. Any ideas as to what causes this greenish leaf-like debris and what will help eliminate this problem? He may be leaving a few dollar bills in his pocket and they're getting shredded along the way. I don't know.
Maybe that's it.
David, but what do you think on that Joe, I mean, I've heard you know, things that are more black, like some of the mold and mildew that might be getting loose, but he's really specifying this is green.
Yeah, well, I've heard of, as you said, I've heard of brown and black flakes ending up in a washing machine. But if this is green, might be the same problem. And it's from an excess buildup of soap, might be using too much detergent. And what happens, it gets trapped between, inside the washing machine, there's a outer plastic drum that holds the water and an inner metal drum that holds the clothes. And in between those two drums, there's a space, and the excess soap can get built up in there. And it, at some point, the accumulation starts breaking up and coming out in these little flakes. And again, I've only seen them as brownish or blackish, but it might be the same thing. So what's he need to do? That's the question, right? Well, you could try, you know, he might have to call in a repairman, but they can scrub the space in between the outer and inner tub and then run a cycle again with vinegar and baking soda, and that will clear it. Now, it'll come back if you continue to use too much soap. So I would use less soap and maybe buy a different brand of soap and see if that will eventually solve the problem.
But, you know, I had an appliance guy tell me that same thing one time, is that never where it says maximum height, excuse me, never, ever fill it up to that point for the very
on
reason
the detergent cup,
that you're saying.
Mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And never fill it up to that point because of just what you said. So you might think about that if you're having any little problem with that, or maybe the soap just doesn't seem to be getting out of the wash cycle. Just reduce it a little bit. You'll save a little money and you won't have that problem at all. Hey, another thing that we talked about, and this is so funny, the old Christmas pickle. I didn't realize, you know, what we talked about is what we heard is that it is a tradition, maybe started in Germany. There's a lot of different things there where a mother and father would hide an actual pickle inside the Christmas tree somewhere. And when the kids were opening the presents, then if they happened to find that, you got an extra present. There's a number of comments that we got on todayshomeowner.com. I want to share a few of them with you right now.
We've been doing that for about 10, 15 years. Don't know why the kids how we necessarily got into it, but the kids love it. Whoever finds the pickle, gets an extra present. And by the way, the kids are 25 now, and they still like doing it. Anyway, thanks. Have a nice day. Bye.
My name is Michelle from Iowa, and I heard you talking about the Christmas pickle. I don't know the background of it, but for years we have had a family member that introduced us to this, that we have a pickle that's not real, but it's like an ornament, and it's like a pickle, a dill pickle, and you put it in your tree. Wow. You hide it in your tree, and the first person that finds it gets to open their present first.
Good morning, it's Daryl Tums calling from Vermont, of all places. Years ago in my shop, I used to sell pickles, Christmas pickles, to hang on the tree. They were like any other ornament, you know, like a blown glass, and had the little hook on the end of it, and you'd hang in the tree. Couldn't smell that one. Take care.
Yeah, that would be bad. Yeah. That would be bad if you had to smell the pickle.
I mean, I love the smell of a nice, fresh Christmas tree, but not so much a fresh pickle, even though I love pickles. But, that was that's pretty good. But look at this. How cool is this for listeners to take the time? And you see how easy it is. If you have a thought that you want to share with us, hey, you might end up on our radio show. Just call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 800-946-4420. I just enjoy that. I enjoy hearing.
Yeah, but we still don't know why a pickle. Why did it become a pickle of all things?
I don't know.
We'll have to find out.
The Pickle Association of Germany said, hey, I've got an idea. We can sell more pickles this way.
Let's sell more pickles.
Especially during December when everybody would want one. Hey, we've got a simple solution coming up and a lot more information right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the best of Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Okay, folks, right now it's time for our simple solution. What do you have, Joe?
All right, Danny, here's a quick and easy way to silence a squeaky door hinge. Now, there's lots of ways people try, and it doesn't always work. And I tell you, one thing you don't want to do is just open up the door and start squeezing in a bunch of oil or spraying in some silicone, because although it might silence it for that 1 second or two, but it's not going to solve the problem. So here's what you need to do. It only takes maybe 3 or 4 minutes, but it's worth the time. Close the door, then use a hammer and a nail set or a similar tool to tap out the pin in the offending hinge, the one that's squeaking. Then take the pin out, wipe it really clean, remove any grease or grime with a cloth, scrape off any caked on paint. Sometimes people paint hinges for some reason, and that's not good, so take off all that paint. And then what you want to do is get some 120 grit sandpaper and buff that pin to as shiny a surface as you can get, the shaft of the pin. You want it like sparkling, shiny, brand new. And if you come across, if you feel any burrs or rough spots, take a file and file those smooth. You want this pin as clean and smooth as possible. And then what you can do is take some machine oil, put one thin little bead. You don't want it dripping, soaking. You want one thin little bead of machine oil on the shaft, along the length of the shaft. Tap it back in, and that should do it. Open and close the door a couple times and see if that one might now be quiet. Maybe you'll see another one that's squeaking. But I've done this several times, and it works just about every single time.
And it lasts a long time, too, I bet, Joe, instead of just... Because I'll tell you what, you know, you're exactly right. With spraying a multi-purpose lubricant, everybody knows the one I'm speaking of. And you just cannot do that, especially lock manufacturers will tell you, do not spray that multi-purpose lubricant inside a lock.
It
gunks it up. It attracts
dust and dirt.
It attracts dust and dirt. It just will not. It may help for a little while, but in the long run, you're really causing harm. Graphite is the way to go. And you can buy a little tube of graphite, and it'll last you 30 years. I mean, it just goes on forever, and that's actually the way to really get any kind of moving part. And that's something. It's a new year. I'll tell you what, go to the home center, get you several different kinds of lubricant that's available, dry lubricant and some of the liquid of the lithium grease for your garage door, and spend an hour going around on anything that has moving parts and make it work just a little bit better. That's a great weekend project. Here comes a perfect little nugget of information from Joe Truini, our simple solution.
Okay, Danny, here you go. If you're using a power miter saw to put up crown molding, you know that you typically put the molding on the saw upside down and you hold it at the angle that it's going to be installed. That's just the quickest, easiest way to do it. Then you just adjust the blade, you rotate the blade to a 45 degree angle and you make the cut. But how do you hold the molding in place securely every time so you have accurate cuts? And here's how. Hold the molding in place upside down so that it's flush and flat against the fence, the vertical fence of the saw, and the flat horizontal table of the saw. Then take a hot melt glue gun and glue a 1x2 strip of wood to the table, to the saw table. And that just acts as a cleat so that the molding is held in place by the cleat. And then I will recommend, though, when you do this, be sure you don't glue it to the rotating part of the table so you can adjust the saw, because if you glue it down, obviously you won't be able to rotate the saw. So it's just to the left and to the right side of the saw table. And then when you go to put in the molding, you just slip it right in. It's automatically held in place. Now, when you make the cut, you'll make a right-hand cut, then sooner or later you make a left-hand cut. It will remove that center section of the cleat ordinarily, and that's fine. You don't need that anyway. But anyway, so that's the quickest, easiest way. You just slip it right in. You don't have to worry about always holding it at the exact right position by hand. These cleats will hold it for you.
Oh, that's great. And you can always remove that fairly easy once you finish.
Oh, tap it with a hammer. It pops right off.
Exactly. Yeah. It sounds like Joe may have glued something wrong before. He was sound like he was self-admitting that a little bit.
Why does my saw not adjust?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Best of Today's Homeowner Radio. Happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for listening to Hour 1. If your radio station plays Hour 2, stick around. We'll be right back. If not, everyone, have a Happy New Year, and we'll see you next week.